bride of Christ, to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Hello, Bride. Good evening. This is your host, Dr. June Knight from Nashville, Tennessee. I am so honored to be with you once again, and we just finished the Thanksgiving season, and I just want to say thank you to our listeners. Thank you for sharing with the bride. Also, I would like to say we're headed into the Christmas season. Please pray for me for new equipment. I've been walking by faith for a year. Amen. So we're going to see God do miracles in this ministry. Amen. Now, today we are honored to have a guest with us from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And listen, we are so honored to have her, Bride. You are going to rejoice when you hear the word released out of this woman. Give it up for Apostle Pat Lee. Yay!
Amen. Well, it's so good to be with you today, June, and I just feel just so blessed that you invited me to be on the air with you today, and I just pray we just bless many listeners today, that they will be blessed by the word of the Lord that's going to come forth in our encouraging words.
Yes, amen. Now, I'm going to read your professional bio, and then we're going to ask you to share a little bit of more details. But listen, Bride, Apostle Patricia Lee was happily married to Clifford Lee of 48 years, and they have 3 grown children and 6 grandchildren. He passed away in 2015 in February and will be greatly missed. At that time, they resided in Picayune, Mississippi. Together, they founded Greater Works Fellowship Church in 1999, and since that time, it increased to 5 GWF churches in Sierra Leone, WA, and 1 orphanage. God bless the Lees to serve as apostles to several other works in Sierra Leone and London, England. Pastor Patricia feels the call to build churches and orphanages and schools across West Africa. Her mission is to fulfill the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature with signs, miracles, and wonders, Mark 16 and 15. Her goal is to reach, teach, activate, and release the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. Pastor Patricia has been in active ministry for the past 40 years and has a desire to see a church-wide revival. She is a revivalist at heart. She travels nationally and internationally to bring healing to the nations. Following the passing of her husband, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Apostle Pat Lee redefined her ministry. She moved to a neighboring big city and branched into the next phase of her life. She opened her brand new church called the Hub Revival Center in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. She has an awesome team of believers, and they helped her to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit into this next phase of her life. She was honored to be commissioned and imparted into by her spiritual father, Prophet John Mark Poole, at the opening ceremony of her new church in November of 2015. He commissioned her into the official office of an apostle. Apostle Pat lives in the supernatural and walks in signs, wonders, and miracles. She is a new author Her first book, Supernatural Invasion, is about her revelation of walking in the supernatural naturally. She has seen the dead raised, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. She has witnessed multiple healings by the power of God. She has seen money appear out of nowhere, etc. Look for her book release soon. Her life is a great example of how to stay pliable when God changes your life, when He shifts your circumstances or requires you to submit your ministry and give it back to Him, or when He simply takes the love of your life after almost 50 years with Him on earth. She is a blessed woman and very excited about this next season of promotion in God's kingdom. Amen, Apostle. We are so honored to have you with us today.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, I just feel so blessed, June. And you're just doing such an awesome job. Getting the word out and connecting the body of Christ together, and so we can encourage one another in this hour. We do need that.
Yes.
So thank you so much for your dedication to this ministry and connecting ministers together from around the world. I just think that's in the nation is such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Now listen, Apostle, I believe that we covered a lot of your testimony. You have such an amazing story. I mean, would you mind sharing with us, like, what was your life like before you met your husband and how it all turned out to where you're such a blessed woman, you're an up-and-coming future author of many books and all this stuff, a national speaker, an international speaker. What did God do to you as a child? How did you find Him?
Well, it's a long story, but I don't believe there's any accidents in the kingdom of God. I believe that God slated our destiny, and Psalms 139 says all the days of our life are written. So we know that there's a book of destinies before the throne of grace.
Yes.
Already written everything about your life beforehand. So there's nothing, that God didn't already know about you when He planned for your life. And I just believe that my destiny's been slated by God. At 5 years old, believe it or not, I met my husband for the very first time.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Even though we didn't see each other again till we were 14, I was 14, and he was 19.
Yeah.
We went on our first date. It was to the movie, and
yeah.
My grandparents dropped me off and picked me up, so it wasn't like it was a date, really. It was just we just met at the movies and reconnected ourselves. And it was a divine connection. I lived 30 minutes away from him, but I would come stay with my grandparents during the summer, and my grandmother would go to his aunt to get her hair fixed, so I would go with her, and I was invited to play ball with him and his friends, baseball, on a Sunday afternoon after church. So my grandparents agreed that I could go, and that's when we reconnected our lives together, and it was history after that. The first time we laid eyes on each other, we just knew that we wanted to be with each other the rest of our life. And
wow!
Sure enough, my husband, he told me, he said, "Pat, I want to live with you the rest of my life," and he did. And we were married in 1968. I was Catholic, and he was
Baptist.
That's
when I was born.
Really?
Yes, well, 68.
That was a good year.
Yes.
I was Catholic, he was Baptist, and I was not a born-again believer, but he was. He wasn't serving the Lord at the time, but we got married, and I was 16 years old, and we moved to Mobile, Alabama. And we moved next door to an Assembly of God family, and the lady there was just such an inspiration to me. She led me to Christ, and I became a born-again believer, got filled with the Holy Spirit. My life changed.
Aww.
And from the very day that I was saved, God just put such a heart in me to reach those that are lost, because I almost died four times before I found the Lord, because I could
have
been great mercy. I was saved, and I got to thinking about, Lord, what if I'd have died? I would have went to hell. And I wanted to proclaim this gospel to everyone that I've seen. And one, I have led many, many, many to Jesus Christ over the years because of that passion of wanting to see others find Jesus Christ. And
yes.
So it's been a wonderful journey. There's been ups and downs, even in our marriage. But, you know, God brought us into the fullness of the things of the Spirit of God together. We became one. He was baptized.
Wow.
After 25 years, he fought me the first 25 years because he didn't believe that spirit of religion was holding him back.
Yeah.
He didn't want to give up and let go and let God.
Yeah.
But when he did, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, had a call of God on his life. We ministered together for 17 years.
Aww.
It was a wonderful ministry. We touched so many lives. In fact, June, when he died, there was over 1,000 people showed up for his funeral. That's how many people he impacted. And I always tell people, he was love on two feet.
Aww.
He loved it, lovable. He just loved people. He loved God. He loved me. He loved his family. And he just touched so many people's lives. And he is really missed, not only by me and my children and grandchildren, but by his friends and those that we served and ministered to. And so he has just been greatly missed. But it's been a wonderful journey. We sacrificed a lot.
Yeah,
for our call, as we all do, there has to be some sacrifices, and you suffer some things, and
yes,
you know, and that's all part of this walk with the Lord, because, you know, Peter talks about it, you know, over in 1 Peter, where we have to suffer a while, you know, and there's some.
Now, there is some churches that believe that suffering's of the devil, you know.
Well, you know,
they don't
not,
have to understand.
They don't, but let me tell you what Peter says. He said, now the God of all grace, he is the God of all grace,
yes,
who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. And it goes, Peter goes on to say, and he said, after you suffered a while. Now, Jesus suffered for us. So we enter into his suffering. I'm not talking about sickness and all of that.
Yeah,
this and,
yeah.
You know, that Satan can put on you. I'm talking about persecution.
Yes.
Misunderstanding. I'm talking about all of these things that the enemy comes against you with. And then.
Right, right.
After you suffered a while, he said he's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. So you got to endure tribulation, persecution.
Yeah.
You know, to mature us. There's just things. Jesus said, if the world hated me, they're going to hate you.
Right.
So when you step into Christ Jesus, you're going to be persecuted.
Yes.
When I became a born-again believer, June, I began to be persecuted by my own family, by my own husband.
Oh, yes. I feel.
Who was a Christian. He knew
yes.
the Lord. But he didn't know the Lord. He had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord.
Right.
And when I began to have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I came under persecution from my own family. And my family turned their back on me. My mother, my grandparents, you know, they just thought I had lost my mind. And I just held on to Jesus, and I just went on doing what God called me to do. And I got a hold of this scripture that, you know, we're all going to suffer for Christ.
Yes.
But through this suffering, it's going to make us perfect. It's going to establish us, strengthen us, and settle us in him. And so, we're being strengthened by these things. And so, and after we walk through it, the Spirit of Christ in glory come rest upon you. Your ministry is going to be greater. because of what you've had to walk through.
Right,
you know,
right.
Hey, people look at me today and they say, how are you walking in such glory? It's because I've been through much suffering. Much
Come on now.
A lot of persecution.
Oh, yeah.
Almost stoned out of my own community.
Uh-huh.
All the devil because I spoke in tongues and I knocked on doors and I prayed for people and I encouraged people. I was winning people to the Lord. And so they said I was a devil. But you know what? Now, today, that whole community's been touched by the presence and power of God.
Thank you,
because
Lord.
I didn't take it personal. You can't take this thing personal.
Right.
You can't take persecution and the tribulation that you walk through personal. You know, you got to count it all joy. You know?
Yes.
That's what Dane said we have to do. You know, we've got to just count it all joy. So it's not.
Now, Apostle Lee, I'd like to shift a little bit to your new book coming out. It's called Supernatural Invasion, where you're living the supernaturally naturally. Now, if you don't mind explaining that to the bride, like, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, because there's a world out there beyond the one we live in.
Yes.
Very few people understand that world, and it's called the supernatural realm. Now, of course, we know that there's light and there's darkness. You know, there's the kingdom
right.
of God in this world. And so very few people know about the kingdom of God, about the supernatural realm of the Spirit of God, where miracles, signs, and wonders flow out of, where you can touch heaven and bring it to earth. People don't, you know, they don't realize that they have authority in the realm of the Spirit to pull down, pluck up, replant, and build because of the supernatural words even in your mouth. And so as I read the scripture where it said, you know, God is a creator God, it goes back to Genesis 1 where, you know, and that is the principle of first mention. If God is a creator God, he's a spirit. And, of course, when we're born again into the kingdom of God, we become a spirit man, a spirit being. He said life and death is in the power of the tongue. He said you can speak life, you can speak death. There's creative, your words are very creative. So if you can create life with your words, you can create death with your words.
Yes, yes.
And so he said we can call those things that be not as though they were. You know, if God can say, let there be light, and there was, my goodness, you know, he said we can do the same thing as he did. We have that same creative power in us that, you know, that God had. We can say, let there be, and there is.
Right.
And I have seen that happen so many times. And so I began to walk in faith. You see, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I believed exactly what Mark 16 said. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe. We can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We can, you know, do all these things, cast out devils. We can do all this in his name.
Right.
And so I want to see the church get back to that place where they're walking in the power and the authority of the Word of God and creative miracles. See, we're coming into a season of creative miracles.
Right.
Where we're going to see limbs grow back. We're going to see
eyeballs
come back into the eye sockets. We're going to see kidneys be replaced that was taken out. We're going to see, you know, those creative miracles like the one that I've seen with the money appearing. When the Lord told me in Houston at that prophetic conference, he said, if I have to, I'll rain down money from heaven like I rain
yes,
down.
Yes, tell this story.
The children of Israel, you know. And he said, so don't you worry about the economy. That was back in 2008. And so we were hearing of all of the, you know, the economy failing and the, the banks are failing. People are losing their homes. And I had just made a $65,000 investment. Everything I owned, I put into that investment of $65,000.
Right.
And then now the bottom is falling out of everything. What was valued at $99,000 or appraised a piece of land that I bought, appraised for $99,000, I was hoping to make a turnover of $30,000 profit. All of a sudden, the bottom fell out of the economy. Land fell. The price of land fell. My land now is worth $45,000, and I just paid $65,000 for it. And I'm saying, God, but I thought I heard from you. You know, have you ever done something you thought you heard from God that looked contrary?
You know,
God bring a blessing into your hands, and all of a sudden it looks like, my goodness, God, is this you? Because, look, the bottoms just fell out of it. I've just lost $20,000.
Yes.
Off the table. Now, what are we going to do? He said, listen, don't you fear. You heard from me. I mean, that's how God talks to me.
Yeah, amen.
He said, I'm going to take care of you. He said, if I have to, I will rain down money from heaven. I've never heard of that before. Neither had they heard about manna falling from heaven before,
you know,
in the wilderness. So there's some things that's taken place. We've never heard of it before, but God is still a supernatural, creative God that's still working miracles in the now, creating whatever you need in the now, because he is a now God.
Yes.
And so here I got excited because he said, I'm going to rain down, if I have to, money from heaven to take care of you.
Yeah.
And so I shared this with some of the other prophets and apostles on the round table at that conference that weekend at lunch that very day, and they looked at me like I had lost my mind. And I said, well, I know I heard from God.
Yeah.
I do know his voice. And I said, I know God spoke. But they looked at me like I had lost it, and I said, oh, my, I have just cast my pearls before the swine, because they surely don't believe it. It doesn't matter. If people believe us or not, if God speaks it, it's going to happen.
Right. Amen.
We left that meeting, and we went back to the hotel. And as we stepped out of the van, now let me tell you what happened. This was the most exciting thing. Never seen it before. This is a creative miracle from God, supernatural. It could have not happened any other way but supernatural.
Right.
We stepped out of the van, and there is money all over the parking lot. When I tell you it wasn't a few dollars, it was fresh dollar bills all over that parking lot.
Yeah.
And no one in the van with me could see those but me.
Wow.
I looked and I thought I was having a vision.
Yeah.
And everybody just kept walking, and nobody acknowledged all this money laying in the parking lot. So I hollered out, I said, look.
Normally they'd be crazy.
I know. And I hollered out, I said, y'all, look, this is what I was talking about. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit just said. If he had to, he'd rain down money from heaven to take care of me. So they looked down, and they could see the money, and they were trying to get it. But all of a sudden, the wind began to blow. And as the wind began to blow, now this is in a hot July day in Houston. No wind was blowing. It was a supernatural wind of God, the breath of God blowing, and the money all came to my feet. And the And you know, the scripture says that they brought their money to the apostles and laid it at their feet.
Yes.
The only two apostles in the crowd was me and another pastor, minister from Baton Rouge. And we were the only two that could pick up this money. Well, it was dollar bills, but it was fresh dollar bills.
Yeah.
And so I went inside, and when I got inside the lobby, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, These were dollar bills, but he said, from this day forward, it's going to be $100 bills.
What?
So the following Tuesday, I had to speak at a church in Montgomery, Alabama, a Methodist church at the Women's Globe, and I needed $5,700 to complete my budget for Africa. I was going to buy a piece of land to build a church in the Limba tribe. So no one knew this but me and God and my board. And I said, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm believing for that supernatural release of the finances to complete this project. Well, at the end of the service, I administered to quite a few people. I guess there was 150 people there. And they started supernaturally. Now, they've already taken an offering for the ministry.
Yeah.
I'm talking, this was at the end, the close of the ministry. I turned it over to the host, and sat down on the prayer altar there in front of the church, people began to supernaturally get up and throw $100 bills at my feet.
What?
$100 bills, $100 checks. I mean, it was incredible. Well, I noticed that one of the ladies kept coming over, counting the money, throwing it down. Now, I'm talking, it was supernatural. They were just getting up from all over the building, throwing money at my feet. Well, this lady had left, and I had had a word from the Lord for her. And I said, Lord, I hate she left. I really wanted to give her this word.
Yeah.
About 15 minutes later, she walked straight in the doors of the church. She walks down the aisle, looks at me. And she had a bundle of $100 bills in her hand and said, the Lord told me to go to the bank, get this, and give this to you. Sew this into your life.
What?
When they counted the money, it was $5,700.
What? Wow.
There's no way that could have happened in the natural. It had to be supernatural.
Come on now.
It's just been that way. And after that, you know, they told me, they said, the reason we kept counting this money and throwing it back down, the Lord said he was multiplying it. And so as they would count it, every time they counted it, it was more. See, God is in the business of multiplication. He wants to multiply, just like the fishes in the loaves, see?
Yeah.
But we've got to believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think.
Yes, Lord.
It is according to the faith that worketh on the inside of you. So you have to release your faith to believe God to do the exceeding abundant above all you can ask or think.
Yes.
We just have to believe it. So I believed when the Lord said, if I have to rain down money from heaven. And do you know I have not missed a payment on that land? I have not lost one dime on that land. When I sell that land, it's going to be a hundredfold return. I'm not going to receive anything less than God's best, because that's what he said.
Amen.
He said, I want you to buy that for an investment. He didn't tell me to buy that for an investment and me lose money on it.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? And this was you know, when Jesus, and people says, well, you know, I don't believe that God does it. Well, what about Jesus when he walked on the face of the earth? Remember when Peter went to him and said, and asked him if he was going to, you know, pay taxes, if he was going to give Caesar what was Caesar's. You know, it was time to pay the taxes. And he said, in my words here, emphasis, yes, Peter, we're going to pay him, and we're going to pay yours too. So, you just go on down there, go to the seashore, he said, and cast in your line. When you catch the first fish, open its mouth, you're going to find the provision in its mouth. And so, I mean, my goodness, if he's going to, the fish is going to bring the provision to you. What says God can't pour it down?
Amen.
The angels bring it to you. And when Peter got the fish, he opened his mouth, and there was enough money in that fish's mouth to not only pay Jesus's taxes but Peter's taxes and give them some extra. See, God
Right. Is
more than enough.
Well, let me ask you this, Apostle. Don't you believe that the key ingredient to the blessings overflowing, like what you're saying, is obedience? God's blessing your obedience. You're giving your all to him, the reckless abandonment.
That's exactly right. And that's where the bride is. It's got to be total abandonment to yourself.
Yes.
You know, that Paul said it. He said, let me increase so I have to increase so he can. I mean, I have to decrease so he can increase.
Right.
So there has to be a decrease, and there has to be an abandonment to yourself to
walk
this God-like, this Christ-like. And that's been my journey. Dr. June, this has been my journey of total abandonment. When the Lord says to give it up, I just give it up.
Yes. Now, listen, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I would love for you to talk about that. People need to know that about how to let go. Amen. Okay, be back in one moment. reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing it on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is soul. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. Okay, Bri, this is Dr. June, your host tonight. Listen, we are moving into a very interesting topic that she is very well versed in, and that is called letting go. Now, listen, Apostle, if you don't mind sharing with us, what do you mean by that, letting go?
Well, that just means exactly what it means. If God said let it go, let it go. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, you've got to
let
go.
That's not easy.
It's not easy to do, and I'm a teacher.
Right.
When God was taking me, see, we all go through a wilderness. Do you know that?
Yes, ma'am.
We go into that wilderness process of preparing us for our promised land. And so there has to be a positioning to be able to walk, cross over the Jordan into your promised land. So you go through a wilderness in your life. And the one thing that happened to me, and I'm thank God for it, because when I got when I married my husband and we moved to Mobile, Alabama, I was as happy as any woman could ever be in her life. I mean, we had a beautiful home. My husband had a beautiful job. We had three wonderful children. I belonged to a really awesome church, had wonderful neighbors, had everything in life going for me.
I bet you was comfortable.
I was so comfortable. I was enjoying it. You know, and to me, this is my blessing. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, you made it.
I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying all of these wonderful blessings God
has
on my life. But that's wonderful. That is wonderful. But when you go to shaking, you know, he starts shaking those things in you. He said all things. He's going to shake all things so that those things that cannot be shaken will remain. See, he only wants the things that he wants for us to last, if they're lasting. He wants only those things in us. So he began to shake me and shake my situation. And I was tried, you know, was I in love with the world or am I in love with God? You know, do I love the things or are the blessings of God or do I really love him? You know, the source of all blessings. And so all of a sudden, you know, my world was shaken. My husband came home from work one day. He said, honey, I want you to call the realtor tomorrow. I want you to put the house up for sale. And I went, do what?
No.
The first time in my life, you have to understand, I came out of a very dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life, I had a functional family. I was being blessed. My life was turned around. Everything in my life was beautiful at that moment. I felt like Cinderella. You understand what I mean?
Oh, yes, I do.
My husband said, we're moving back to Mississippi, and that's not where I wanted to go because there was a lot of pain in Mississippi. You know?
Right.
And
yes.
Finally God took me out and brought me into Alabama where I found Christ. I had a wonderful family, had a beautiful home. Just got it totally decorated, by the way.
Aww.
Beautiful home. And all of a sudden, my husband says, we're moving. Really? Oh, God. He said, just do what I said. Call the realtor, put the house up for sale, which I thought he literally lost his mind.
Right.
I came and said, son, you know, are you sure this is what you want to do? You know, you're settled here. Your family's settled in the church. I mean, it didn't look like it was God at all.
Yeah.
Now you talk about rebuking the devil. I was rebuking the devil.
Right.
You know, and it was God all the time. And we don't know it when we're walking through these things.
Right.
Sometimes that this is a shaking by God. It's not a shaking by the devil. It is a shaking by God to get the world out of you, get Egypt out of you.
Yes.
And so we put the house up for sale, and he bought a farm in Picayune, Mississippi, and, oh, I kicked and screamed all the way there.
I bet.
Not knowing it was the will of God. But look, not only did I lose my house, but the man that bought the house looks at my husband and said, if you will leave it furnished just like it is, I'll buy it cash.
Oh, no.
So my husband said, sure, we'll sell it to you just like it is, and there's everything that I love.
Oh, my Lord.
Ripped out from under me. And so here we go to Mississippi, move there, and we moved in a hog barn.
Oh,
and
man.
You, a hog barn where the hogs lived. There was no house on this property.
Yeah.
And so I had to move in a tin hog barn. We had to Purex it down. I didn't have any furniture. We had to buy odds and ends of used furniture. It looked like a dump. It was horrible.
Man.
Everybody there was seemed like they was against me because I was a spirit-filled Christian, and it was full of tradition, and the word got out that this Pentecostal, spirit-filled woman has moved in the neighborhood, and she's radical, and she's going to knock on your door, which I did. I mean, that's a story in itself, and it's hilarious. But I had to walk through some things, Dr. June, to get where I am now. And so it stripped me of everything. And when I thought I just couldn't take any more, I said, God, I can't take this. I can't believe that you took me out of greener pastures to put me in a desert to die.
Yes.
I am out of here. I am out of here. I was kicking against the pricks. I was getting rebellious against my husband. I'm not living here. You can stay here in this godforsaken place if you want to. Then I know nobody else has done that. And it's like, I'm kicking and screaming against and kicking against the pricks of God, not knowing it was the will of God.
Yeah.
That I was to be there and be stripped of everything that's not of Him.
Yes.
And I told my husband, I said, I'm out of here. I'm going back to Alabama. I'm getting me a job. I'm getting me a house. And I left. And I went back to Alabama, went back to my home church, and I walked in the door.
You left?
I left.
You seriously left?
I did. I left my
house. Oh, my Lord.
I went to look for me a house, a job, and I was going back. And
you was kicking against the pricks.
I was, and I went into my home church for that Sunday morning service, and the choir was getting up to sing, and so we went in, and I didn't get to talk to anybody but my friend, who I met, and she was going to let me stay with her till I can get me a place, you know, these good friends that encourage you and want you back, and yes, I don't blame you, I'd move back too, you know, they come in agreement.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's what you want, somebody to come in agreement with you when you're going through something.
Oh,
Went in, and here I am, the choir begins to sing, and the anointing of God fell, and the glory. And all of a sudden, I find myself giving out a message in tongues of all things that God could still use you in your mess, I guess.
Yes, amen.
And my pastor began to give a word of interpret it, and he said, daughter, I have not taken you out of greener pastures to put you in the desert to die for where you are. I have
what?
Said the Lord. And he said, the doors that I close, no man can open, and the doors that I open, no man can close. And how long are you going to kick against the prick?
What?
Well, it didn't take me but a second to fall on my face before God and weep out and cry and say, God, forgive me. I am so sorry.
I'm
going back to Picayune. I'm going back. God, I'll endure whatever I need to endure. And that's just what I was saying.
Yeah.
I went back home, and revival broke out. And the lady that lost the property, the man and woman that lost the property that we bought, had prayed and cried out to God and said, God, send somebody to this community filled with the Holy Ghost, God. Send somebody that can lead me back to you. And God sent me. She had to lose something to gain something. And so God took me out of Alabama, put me right in Mississippi so I could lead her to Christ. Let me tell you something. All about him. It's all about being obedient to the call of God.
Yes.
One day I was in prayer after being stripped of everything. I'm talking everything. There was nothing left of me but him. He says, now you can have the stuff because the stuff don't have you.
Woo! Amen.
It was worth it all. We went into that whole community. Sister was touched by the presence and power of God. We ended up having a tent revival out in the middle of a cow pasture.
From
everywhere and got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. What if I had not went back and obeyed God?
I've got to ask you what your husband said when you went back.
These people are following us, sister. They're following us. If you'll look
They are.
They're waiting on you.
Yes.
To obey God.
Yes, they are. Now, what did your husband say when you went back?
He was happy. He was so happy because he said, honey, what can I do? What? I said, you can move back to Alabama. He said, I'm not going back to Alabama.
Yeah.
God said, we're to be here. And so I submitted to the lordship and the headship of my Lord.
Jesus
and my husband. You know, Sarah called Lord. So I submitted to my head, and God brought him in a way that was the most glorious thing. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. His life was transformed, and him and I, as I said, we labored together in the ministry for 17 years. It was the most powerful 17 years of our whole life. He went out in a blaze of glory.
Oh, that's awesome.
But
now, Bride,
God,
let me tell you this. When you ride through Picayune, I didn't know all this story, but I tell you what, when I first went through there this summer, I was like, wow. I mean, the feeling in the atmosphere is so clean. It's light, like there's not the spirit of heaviness there. I went into the post office, and they were listening to worship music. I go into Family Dollar, the employee's sitting on the floor listening to worship music, and I was like, wow. And then I go into the library, and I see all Christian stuff. I'm like, God has really moved. There were signs on each end of the county that says Jesus is Lord and Picayune. You know, just the atmosphere. And true revivalists know this. Whenever we go somewhere, it's not about numbers. It's about us coming together in agreement with heaven about the city, about the atmosphere, and shifting for change. So what you're telling us is God sent you to this city. You didn't want to go because you were so comfortable, so happy. You had the dream life, and God sent you into Egypt. You go into Egypt, and you're like, no, but finally when you heard God very clearly say, that is where I've called you, sister, you have to be there. When you submitted to God, when you submitted to your husband, then you went into this great revival. You went into the spiritual warfare in the city. You went through there helping people, going to all these homes, praying for people, holding tent revivals, and you finally embraced the process. You embraced what God was doing in your life, and then at the end of all that, the Lord took your husband, and then after that, he called you out. Now, that's pretty amazing.
It is. And, you know, he had promised me, he said, if you'll be faithful where I have planted you for this season, he said, I'm going to move you into your promised land.
Aww.
And so I had something to look forward to because God had promised me that if I would stay faithful and do exactly what he said to do, he would bring me into my promised land. I would cross over the Jordan. I would walk into my promised land, and I would eat of the good of the land for the rest of my life.
And now that's what you're doing.
I have crossed over the Jordan. And
June 1st,
I have crossed over the Jordan.
And
the Lord told me, he said, you have just crossed over the Jordan. When I came into Lamar County, which is Hattiesburg, Mississippi, the Lord revealed to me that I had crossed into my promised land. And he even gave me the house that he showed me in a vision. He gave me this vision of this house and said he was giving me this house. And even the real estate agent that bought this house is an investment. She said, Patricia, I bought this house for you.
The Lord
bought this house for me. And I
have
already leased another house, and she calls me and tells me about this house. And when I came and looked at it, and I told her, I said, I've got to have this house. God supernaturally brought this house to me through a real estate agent. God said to her, I have bought this house for this woman.
That's amazing. Okay, Brad, listen, we're going to take a quick little commercial. When we come back, she is going to preach. And when she preaches, you better hold on. It's going to be powerful. We'll be back in just a moment. Bride, are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Okay, Bride, we're back. We are going to hear this woman preach the Word of God. Go for it, Apostle.
Thank you so much, Dr. June. I want to talk today about possessing your promised land, since we've been talking about that this morning.
Yes.
And how, you know, God, each one of us, I believe, have, God has given us our own promised land.
Just
yes. As he has me, you know. And so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, because I believe that we are in a season of possessing our promised land, a time to cross over. From one season to another, the wilderness into the promised land.
Yes,
we're in a transition. And I'm meeting so many people right now that are in transition. And sometimes transition is unsettling. So because the spiritual landscape is changing as we move into the unfamiliar territories, like I did from Alabama back to Mississippi. But the spirit of fear will always try to dominate God's people or cause us to miss and to keep us out of our promised land, like he did the children of Israel.
Yes.
You know that so well, that Numbers 13 talks about, because the Lord had spoke to Moses, a type of the Christ, to send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which he was given to the children of Israel. And he chose one leader out of each of the 12 tribes, and they had to be a leader among that tribe. So God is pulling out today new leaders that are going to lead his children into the promised land. Isn't that exciting?
Thank you. Yes, it is, Lord.
He is using leaders within the Christian community today, and I believe that there's a remnant within the remnant. I believe there's a remnant
yes.
in the church. Out of the remnant, God is bringing forth the leaders out of that remnant that's going to lead God's children into their promised land, just as they did the children of Israel coming out of the wilderness into that promised land, because it's a process. And there's people right now that's been positioned for purpose. They've already went through the process. They went through the wilderness. They've overcome their fears and doubts and unbelief. and all of those things and have laid down their life. They picked up now the, his cross, and they're following him.
I mean,
they're being obedient to whatever he says to do. If he says lay it down, we're laying it down. I mean, after 14 years of pastoring, building a beautiful church, a beautiful facility, everything there was paid for, Dr. June, the Lord said, shut her down.
Oh, Lord.
Sacrifice it like Abraham had to, you know, the Lord asked him to do. I mean, you had to kill that thing.
Oh, Lord.
It's hard to kill something you've birthed. But if it's you doing it, you can't kill it. But if God did it and he says to tear it down, to kill it, you better sacrifice that thing.
Yeah.
June the 1st last year, 3 years ago, the Lord said, well, 3 and a half now, he said, shut her down. I said, dear God, what in the world are you doing? We just got this thing going. He said, I said, shut it down. In 7 days, we had another church in that church taking over that's going forth now in the glory of God with the same vision, the same thing God called us to do. Reach the lost in the community. They're doing it now. Amen? He said,
yes.
It's time to move on. I'm moving you out. You're going in, moving on into your promised land. And within a month's time, we were out of the church. We were in Columbia, Mississippi, with a brand new ministry going. Isn't God awesome?
Yes,
Lord. We were willing to lay it down. We were willing to lay it down. We have to be. So we see that God called Moses to get some 12 spies to go in and spy out this promised land. And so he sent them out. They took the 12. They went out. They stayed 40 days. 40 days they stayed seeking out this land. Moses said, go and see how this land is. See if what's good, bad. Bring it back to me. Bring some of the fruit, you see. The Lord had promised them a land that flowed with milk and honey and every good thing. So they had to go and taste and see that the Lord was good.
Yes.
Go over and see and taste and see what God was saying and spy out the land. See, the Lord had already told them they were more than able to go in and take the land. He had already prepared it for them. It wasn't for the Amalekites. It was for the children of Israel. It was planned for them. It was their promised land. But
yes,
it was overtaken. You see, sometimes the enemy will overtake your promised land. And you've got to go in and drive out the enemy. All you got to do is go in and possess it and drive them out. And that's by decreeing and declaring, this land doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God, and he has given it to me, and we shall possess our land.
Come on now, yes, Lord.
They went in, and they spied it out. But one thing Moses did, and I didn't realize this till the other day, that he told them to bring back the good and the bad. See, when God says to go in and do something, that's exactly what he means to do. It don't mean you have to reason it out. You got to say, oh, well, it don't look like we can do that because there's giants in the land. I mean, we're outnumbered. They've already possessed it. It's theirs. They are already farming the land. They're taking care of the land. I mean, they've got their own businesses there, their homes there. No, God said, that's not their land. He said, it's your land. It's been prepared for you. You got to go in and drive them out and move in. And so he said, bring me the good and the bad. So what happened? 8 of them come back and said, no, we're not. We're not able to take the land, you see?
Right, yeah.
So they come back with the bad report. He said he wanted the good and the bad. What should have happened is God said we're more than able to take the land. Doesn't matter what it looks like. See, that's what it says. It don't matter what it looks like. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. That land belongs to me, devil. And you just got to pick up and move out because I'm moving in. Glory to God. So when they brought that false report and they come back with that false report and that negativity, there's no way. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. We're outnumbered. There's no way we can defeat those giants. There's no way we could possess that land, but God had already said they could. So whose report are we going to believe? Are we going to believe God's report?
Amen.
The report of the enemy, or report, and not even the report of the enemy, but the report of what you're saying. Are you going to let fear keep you from your promised land because
right.
it looks impossible to the natural?
Right.
That's why you got to get out of the natural into the supernatural.
Yes.
You got to walk in the supernatural power of God and declare that that land does not belong to you, but it belongs to me because God gave it to me and it belongs to me. That house is mine because God said it's mine. I couldn't find the house, but God said, this is the house I've prepared for you. This is your promised land. So what did he do? He called a lady to find the house and call me and say, I've got you the house that I think God wants you to have. And sure enough, it was. And I came over and possessed this land. Amen?
Because right, God, right.
So we can't come back with a bad report. We got to come back with a good report because God already said it. You just got to believe it. You just got to step into it. And see, after that happened, you know, the whole land of Israel come against Moses and Aaron, begin to come against them. And, you know, they were complaining, oh, there's no way. Wish we'd have stayed in Egypt. Now, in Egypt, they were in bondage. Why would you want to stay in Egypt? Why would you want to stay under Pharaoh, under that a hard taskmaster, when God's trying to bless you, bring you into your promised land, and give you more than enough, because they wasn't even enough there. You went from barely enough to the wilderness where there was just enough, and God was wanting to take you to the promised land where there was more than enough. And so here they are complaining, and because of their complaint, because they were complaining, their doubt and their unbelief, they stayed in the wilderness. They didn't go into the promised land, but they were two that didn't give up on their promised land, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And they didn't give up. You know, we can't give up on what God has promised us, sister. We cannot hold on to it. If you're going to possess it, you can't let it go. It's got to stay in your heart, stay in
your
heart. I got to continue to press into it until you possess it in the spirit. Even though they had tasted and seen, they still came back with that negative report. You know, we have tasted and seen that God is good, and we're still sitting here waiting. And when God says, what are you waiting for? I've already made you these promises. You know, I could have stayed in Picayune, but the Lord said, now's the time. It's time to pick up now. Leave everything that you are familiar with. Leave everything behind. I mean, I left my house up with everything that was accumulated for the last 48 years, walked off of that property that was paid for, locked it up to come to a place I don't have a clue what God is up to, but God is going to obey no matter what.
Amen. Come on.
God has prepared the way. He had made the way where there seemed to be no way. He said he would make every crooked place straight. There has not been one lack in my house. There's not been
one thing
I have had need of that God has not provided because I crossed over the Jordan into my promised land. And that's what he wants for us now. That's what God is saying. You know, he said it is time to pick up and cross over. See, in Joshua 1, when the Lord came to Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. See, the old generals are gone. That's what the Lord spoke to me when I got here. He said, when my husband died, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, my husband is gone. It's time to pick up. It's time to arise and go over the Jordan.
Yes, Lord.
And possess your promised land.
Yes, Lord.
God, he said, time to leave this place. It's time to grab hold of your promised land, for this is your hour. This is your day that you only dreamed about. It is, you're stepping into your destiny now, and everything that God has prepared me for, my sister, is in the now. I have come into my season. There is a due season. He said, if you faint not, you will reap. you will reap.
Right, amen.
God, you see, I wanted to do great things for God, but it wasn't my season. I just kept doing what he was telling me to do. He said, if you've been faithful in the little, I'll make you rulers over the much. He's got to find us faithful in our wilderness season. He's got to find us faithful in our winter season when nothing's happening. When he finds you faithful to do what he's called you to do and you complete that assignment, he says, now it's time for promotion. It's time to...
Yes, Lord.
And so now many of you are in transition and you're fixing to go into your next season.
Yes.
Cross over into your promised land for this season of your life. You got to hold on. Where you are is not where you're headed. It is not, you're not there yet, but you're just about there. So don't give up.
Yes.
Press in. Sometimes we got to hold on. You know, we say press in, but sometimes it's just holding on. Believe in God and decreeing and declaring, it shall be as the Lord thy God has said unto me, and we shall see it. Amen.
Amen.
So here, the Lord called Joshua to take over where Moses left off. We're taking over right now, some of us, where the old generals has left off. There's mantles that's been dropped upon many in this generation that are going to carry on in this new land that God has given us in this season. We're going to see this third awakening that we've been
right, talking. Right.
We're going to be a part of it, of what God is going to do in this end time. And I'm so excited to just be a little part of what God is doing. But they had to get up and cross over the Jordan by faith. They were
amen.
Moab represents a prophetic, it's a symbol of crossing over the river into their promised land. They had to get up from where they were and cross over in by faith to their promised land.
Yes.
Numbers 33 and 50, it says, God spoke to Moses at Moab by the river Jordan. When you have crossed the Jordan into your promised land, God spoke to him there, it is time to cross over. Then you shall drive out. This is what he told him. He said, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all of their engraved stones. Destroy their molded images and demolish all of their high places. So you got to go in, pull down, tear, pluck up, replant, and build in your promised land. You
right.
can't build the same foundation that they have built. Amen?
Right.
They had too many idols in the land. They had to destroy them. So that's what we do when we come into a city. We start plowing that land. And the Lord told me when I got here, sister, he said, you're not going to have to plow this land like you had to plow the last land in that last season. Isn't that awesome?
Right. Yes.
Busy? He said, we're going to own houses we didn't even buy. We're going to possess lands that we didn't have to pay for. Isn't that awesome?
And yes.
Coming into our full inheritance. See, this place is a place of our inheritance, a place of receiving our blessings that we've been waiting on. Amen?
So yes.
We got to transition from the now to where he's taking us, from that last season to this now season. See, we're...
Exactly, yes.
We got to cross over. And you know what? I don't do anything until I hear God say, do it.
Yes.
Don't do it. Jesus said that. He said, I only do what I hear my Father say do.
See, yes, amen.
You don't have to be under pressure. You don't have to be under pressure to do anything. Just do what he says to do. He said to move to Hattiesburg. My prophet, John Mark Poole, came to me and said, the Lord told me to tell you it's time to move to Hattiesburg. He said, not only are you going to move to Hattiesburg, he said, everything about your life is going to become new. See, the Lord spoke to me last December, and he said this. He said, 2015, he said, all things are going to become new for you. It's going to be a year of new beginnings. Well, I'm just thinking my husband's going to get healed. We're moving to Hattiesburg. We're starting our new ministry. It's going to be such a blessing.
Right.
You know, I had it all figured out. It was time for it.
Yes.
It was contrary to everything I was thinking.
Other right.
than I'm moving. Yeah, I'm moving all right. I'm moving without my husband
yes.
that I had for 48 years. I'm moving to a land I don't know nothing about.
Yes.
It's an unfamiliar place by myself, just me and God.
Yes.
You see, and I told him at church the other night, I said, look, I said, this is 2015. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. It's going to be a year, a new beginning. Everything in my life, there's nothing the same.
I'm telling you, it has shifted in 2015 for sure.
I feel like I've been in a whirlwind. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I mean, I'm in a new city. I'm in a new house. I'm in a new church, ministry.
Yes.
I have new friends.
Yes.
I have a new automobile. Everything in my life is totally different.
Aww.
But that's what happens when we cross over the Jordan.
Yes.
To promised land.
Yes. You know, thank you, Jesus.
We got to believe and have faith, you know, that God is able to do what he said he's going to do. He's
yes.
abundant above all we can even ask or think.
Yes,
and
Lord.
So I just want to encourage people today because, you know, you're on the verge of stepping into your full inheritance. See,
yes.
we're heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We're coming into our full inheritance through Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
As a son, because the whole earth is waiting for the manifestations of the true sons of God.
Right.
And so out of this process, of this wilderness experience we've all been through, we're in the suffering that we've been through. Guess what's happening to us? We're being perfected, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We're being strengthened. Amen.
And we're Amen.
Being settled. We're being settled, unmovable. See, he wants a people that is going to be steadfast and unmovable.
Yes, Lord.
Confident in him. That he is more than able, you see.
Right.
So we just got to follow his leadership, and he will get us where he wants to take us. Because, see, the doors that he opens, no man can close. And there's been such a fear on the body of Christ and the men and women of God because they've had the rug pulled out from under them. It seems like the doors were slammed in their face and when they thought it was a God door. When
oh,
God
yes.
opens the door, man can't shut that door. You got to
right.
remember, God said in his word, the Lord said in his word, the doors that I open, no man can close.
Yes, open, Lord.
If man opens the door, man can shut the door.
Yep.
But I've come to realize that if God opens the door, it's a big door, and man cannot close that door.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
There is no fear of missing what God has for you.
Yes.
No fear of missing the door that God has ready for you to walk through because
yes.
man cannot shut the door that God opened. Now, if the door shuts on you, it's because it was not a God door or it wasn't God's timing for you.
Yes.
Tell you when God opens the door, it's a big door, it's a glorious door, and it is no man, and no man can shut that door.
Yes.
But God himself.
Yes. Now listen,
so
Apostle,
I've
got to bring up something that you mentioned earlier that I think is vital for the bride to know. When you was talking about how the Lord told you to give up that beautiful home, you was comfortable, you had such a good life, you was happy, you was in your promised land, and then God shakes it and says, you've got to leave. Now, I've said it on the broadcast many times, and I believe the bride needs to hear this again. This is not the day or the hour for the people to be comfortable. If God has spoken to you years ago and told you to move or to do something, to act on, you know, to change or do something, and if you did not obey him, your world's been spinning in wheels. But God is saying today, this is not the hour to say no to him. We have to obey at all costs. There's a lot of preachers out there that are comfortable where they're at, they're comfortable in their church, and God has spoken to them and said, I want you to go into the ghetto, or I want you to do this, I want you to go to the mission field, and they've said no to him because they like their comfortable life. You know, and you could have said the same thing too, Apostle.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Right.
So if you don't mind praying for the bride, that they would have the courage and the grace to say yes and to walk on the waters of faith and to trust God in that change and transition where it is so scary. Amen.
Amen. Well, you're exactly right. And that's where we are right now. That's where this dividing is coming in at. There's a dividing, those that are of the Lord and those that are not. See, just because you have a church don't mean you and how can I say this without saying it in the wrong way?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we pastor sometimes, we get comfortable in those comfortable buildings.
Yes, yes.
Everything is going good. We have a big crowd.
The finance
is good. Everything is good. But let me tell you what happens. If God speaks and God says, I want you to do this, and you don't obey him, that house will be shaken.
Yes.
It will be shaken. You will be given enough opportunity to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You will be given that opportunity again.
Yes.
Because God is looking for total obedience in this hour, and the blessing is only coming through obedience.
Yes.
Read Deuteronomy 29. But sometimes we get comfortable with where we are. I was comfortable in that house. I was comfortable in that beautiful church that God gave us. It was painful.
Yes. Lord.
And he said, I had to leave it all. But look, I've got double for my trouble. I've gotten double. Yeah. You're not giving up anything. You're just being promoted to a new level.
Yes.
There is double coming to you. You've not given up anything. Matthew 19:29 says, and everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, fathers, or mothers, children, or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold in return in this life.
Yes, Lord.
And eternal life. So you've not given up anything to do what God's called you to do that he's not given back to you 100-fold in this lifetime. I have more today, my sister, than I have had in a lifetime. Every time I say, yes, God, every time I have let go and said, yes, God, walked away, let it stay, didn't look back, he gave me double. And that's where we are. We are at a place to receive double. Double. Do you hear me? Double.
Yes.
That's what the Lord wanted me to do today, I believe, to share with y'all that we're coming in to our double. We're seeing it in the hub here in Hattiesburg. People are stepping into their promised land. They're receiving their full inheritance in the natural sense. But here, I'm telling you, in Isaiah 61, it says this, for your shame you shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them.
Yes, Lord.
We're coming into the Isaiah 61 church where, you see, the church has had some shame on it. It's had some confusion on
it. Yes.
I'm telling you. But because of it, for your shame you shall have double. I believe the church is coming into the greater things of God. They're going to rise and shine in this world.
Yes, amen.
Isaiah 60. We're living in it. Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I'm telling you, kings are going to come to the lightning of that glory.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I'm telling you, your camels are coming, and they're loaded down with silver and gold and all the resources of heaven. All the resources of heaven. I'm telling you, your storehouse.
Thank you, Lord.
Your storehouse is full, but I'm telling you, it's being loaded up on camels right now, and it's coming to your door.
Woo!
Those obedient servants of the Lord that has said, yes, Lord, who has given up houses, given up land, given up their families for the kingdom.
Yes.
My whole family, I had to walk away. My children, my grandchildren. Everything
that lives
in you, you know, that close communication there in the city, right over in Cedar, it's not there. You have to take a trip now. But you know what? God is honoring it.
Yes.
given, he's releasing that hundredfold blessing. See, the churches, they've enjoyed that 30-fold, that 60-fold. But we're coming into that hundredfold portion and release.
Woo! Yes, Lord.
Right now. And that's what
Hallelujah.
He wanted me to share that with you and tell you that God is about to release the double portion anointing on his church.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord had me release that in our church just the other day, the double portion. I had everybody to bring in their fire.
I want you to do that live on the air right now. And listen, after you do that, we are going to have the honor of praying for you, please. And then we're going to ask you to pray. Yes, please. Now, Bride, listen, whatever this apostle tells you to do, let's do it right now so we can receive this blessing from the Lord. Go ahead, sister.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I just thank the Lord for the increase that is coming.
Yes. Yes,
Lord. It's already there. It just has to be released.
Yes.
That double portion anointing.
Yes,
Lord. That God has prepared. It is going to be released in your life. I want you to grab hold of it by faith. I don't care what your circumstances are right now. I don't care what you're going through. I mean, God said if we will grab hold of this thing by faith today, it is going to, your release is here. Your financial release is here. Whatever's been held up is going to be returned to you, released to you. Whatever's been stolen for you is going to be returned to you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. There was a scripture I wanted to give before I prayed. If I could just find it, maybe. Hallelujah.
So, Bride, while she's looking for that scripture, grab your wallet. Grab your wallets as a supernatural contact, point of contact, to demand for our situation to line up to the will of the living God so that we can take the harvest. We've got to have money to take the harvest. Amen?
Yes, amen. So while they're doing that, I just want to say, I can't find that scripture, but I know this, that the wealth of the wicked.
Yes.
Is laid up for the righteous, and that for the end time.
Yes.
And so the wealth that's been laid up, it's already laid up. See, the Lord showed me I was taken in a vision. The angel Gabriel came and got me and took me into my storehouse, and there was many storehouses. And each one of us have a portion. And I wanted to read that scripture.
It's Proverbs 13:22. I got it right here. You want me to read it?
Yeah, will you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is New International Version. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Proverbs 13:22.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, thank Lord.
Thank you, sister. Appreciate that.
Okay. Yes.
I'm going to pray over their finances. Everybody got your wallet?
Yes. I'll be representing everybody.
Father, today I pray that all those listening will receive their full inheritance by faith.
Yes, Lord.
Everything that rightly belongs to them through Christ Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross, Lord, I ask for the double portion anointing to fall.
Yes.
The double portion to be released.
Yes, Lord.
What's been held up to be released in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
Because when the enemy found out, Lord, you said he has to give back seven times. I believe that is full return, 100%.
Yes.
And
yes.
So right now, in the name of Jesus, I command him to give back everything he stole with interest.
Yes.
To this broadcast right now, who has reached out in faith to believe for their portion.
Yes,
their
Lord.
In Jesus' name. And we receive our full inheritance based on being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We claim it all now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
I thank you that it is done, that there is more than enough to do what you have called us to do.
Yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Our storehouses are full, just like mine, and you said that, Father, everything that we need is, everything that we need to do what you've called us to do in this lifetime has already been put aside. It's our portion.
Yes.
To do what you've called us to do. So
yes,
right,
Lord.
Now we access it by faith in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you, Lord. That it is
thank
done.
You, Lord, and we receive it, Lord. Yes.
Yes.
Now, listen, Apostle, we would love to have the honor to pray for you. Now, Bride, bow your heads with us and come together in agreement for Apostle Lee. Listen, she is a widower, and the Bible says that we are to honor them, and today we do honor you, sister. And the Bride just surrounds you right now with our love and surrounds you with our support, holding up your arms in the Spirit and asking heaven today to move on your behalf. Everything your heart has ever desired for God to fulfill that in your life, to bring that to you in a circle. I see like a, you know, a circle turnaround. And we come together in agreement across the earth, locking arms, asking you, heaven, to move on her behalf, send angels to her house to protect her, Lord, as a single woman, having angels come to her house and protect her, having the angels protect the church, Lord, when she's not there, protect at all times, but having the angels to protect the church, Lord, sending her more intercessors, people that will fight in the Spirit for her, Lord, that will stand with her in the battles, that will stand with her in prayer, and fight. With her being an apostle and a prophetess, she needs people that will help her to fight and intercede. Because we all know our battle is not with flesh and blood, it's the principalities and the powers. Lord, we thank you for increasing her life all the way around, Lord, increasing in downloads of prophetic revelation, the continual revelation of who you are, Lord. We will spend eternity discovering more of you. We will never know how big you really are, God. Increasing that in her life, Lord. Increasing her angelic visitations, Lord. Increasing her prayer life, Lord. Increasing the anointing on her, Lord. Increasing her hearing from the Holy Ghost. Increasing in the gifts when it comes to the body, Lord. In the gifts when it comes to releasing it to your people, Lord. Knowing who needs that miracle, who needs it when, how to do it, how to, you know, follow you in every circumstance, Lord. We thank you, God, for lining her with the people that she needs to be lined up with, Lord, supernatural alignment, Lord. We thank you, God, for pouring onto her the revelation of living supernaturally in the natural, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that as the bride that's out here that's been in the caves, the bride that's out here that's been struggling, that's been fighting, that's been in the process, that's been purged, sifted, that's been on their face before you, Lord, they have plowed the ground. They have walked the miles, Lord. They have walked without shoes on. I mean, they have plowed it, Lord. She has come along today to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Your release has come. Your freedom has come.
Yes,
we,
Lord,
thank you that she is a living representation, Lord, of the blessings that overflow us when we obey you, Lord. She has given us a visual to the glory, Lord, and we thank you for that, God, and we thank you for the supernatural impartation from her life to every listener that is listening to this broadcast, Lord. May every one of us, Lord, walk in the supernatural, walking in the authority that you have given us, Lord, walking, knowing who we are in Christ, Lord, taking our dominion and authority, Lord, just like she did in Picayune when she fought you and she said, I don't want to do that. But when she surrendered, how you showed her what her obedience can bring, Lord. What a revelation that is to us, Lord. May we all be willing to go low and be willing to go down, Lord, and to be willing to humble ourselves under a mighty God, saying, yes, Lord, come on, do with our life what you want, Lord. Take us to the places that we don't want to go, Lord. Help us, Lord, to do anything, a reckless abandonment to your will, Lord, a reckless abandonment to your purpose, a reckless abandonment to what you are trying to do on the earth, Lord. We are coming together in agreement with heaven today, saying it is done and let it be so in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you for further doors being opened to her, Lord. More doors being opened, Lord. Right now, this is just 2015. This is the season of change and transformation. But 2016, hello, 2016 is like going over into the promised land, going over to the land of milk and honey, where her mind cannot even fathom what you're about to do, God. And we thank you for her being on this broadcast, because now we're going to be able to have her back and say, what has God done since you was on the broadcast last? I mean, we cannot even imagine what you're about to do, God. And we thank you and give you praise, Lord, for everything she's been through, giving her the husband you did, letting them cross paths when they was little kids, Lord, letting them get together at a young age that they made it through all the trials and tribulations, Lord, and taking them to higher heights, Lord. And now when he left this earth, he was able to go out with glory, and she is able to tell the whole world what a wonderful man that you gave her and how you transformed his life, Lord. And this is letting the bride know that marriages today can make it. Marriages can make it. And we thank you and give you praise for that, God. We thank you for her future. We lay her at the foot of the cross, Lord, and we give you all the glory for what you're about to do in her life, Lord. And I thank you for full restoration in every area of her life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, sister, we'd be honored if you'd pray for our ministry and pray for the bride.
Yes, Lord. Well, we just thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Dr. June's life and in the midst of this ministry and the bride of Christ, Lord God. We're privileged to be a part of your plan in the earth, Lord God, as you are networking your body, Lord, together as one, because we are one with you.
Yes, Lord.
We are that one-man company that's rising up in the earth, Lord God. Lord, that Joel 2 army, Lord God, that's marching through this land.
Yes, Lord.
As one new man. Father, I pray your blessings upon my sister's ministry.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
It will continue to go forth, Lord God, and reach this nation.
Yes,
Lord. Encouraging your bride to rise up.
Yes.
And become all that you have called her to be, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Is being in total abandonment, Lord God, selling out totally to you, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, leaving all that we know, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Follow you, God, and your
Lord.
Your voice, God, to your body.
Yes, Lord.
To come forth, my beloved. To come
forth,
Lord. Calling your bride to that deeper intimacy with you, Lord.
Yes,
God.
Lord.
And it's in that place, Lord God, that you share your heart, that you share your secrets, Lord God.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
I pray that you will strengthen my sister, that you will
thank you, Lord.
To open doors of opportunity to share.
Yes, Lord. Thank
Lord
you, Lord.
God. Lord, that she can walk through. God, and I pray, Lord, for a release of everything, this equipment that she's believed.
Yes, Lord.
God, where you guide, you provide, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you are our provider, God.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Whatever she has need of, God, we call it forth today.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
I call forth the release of this equipment now.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
Whatever it is, Lord, it's already there. It just has to be released.
Yes, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Father, that there'll be nothing lacking and nothing ministering.
Yes.
In her ministry, Lord God, that she
Lord,
that would hold her back and keep her from pursuing what you have, God, to get out
yes,
of the
Lord.
Word of the gospel,
Lord. Yes,
Lord, Father, Lord, and networking, Father, your sons and daughters together.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing, and I pray that you will strengthen her, encourage her, oh God, and settle her in everything. God, that you have for her.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, now, Apostle, would you mind telling the bride how they can get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me by my email, and it is Optimum Health, OPTIMUM Health, HEALTH, letter 2, at yahoo.com.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it so much. Blessings to the body of Christ and the bride.
Amen. Bye-bye.